Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For our next few programs, I want us to consider some of the messages from Old Testament prophets. And the first we want to consider is Hosea. Sometimes that's pronounced Hosea, but actually it's Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of God. And he is listed among what are called the minor prophets. Now, that's not because he was less inspired. It's not because his message was less important, but because the book he wrote is comparatively less in volume than the others. His life and his work was among the northern people of Israel, northern Israel, beginning approximately 120 years before northern Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians. After some 120 years or more of a united country, the Israelite people were divided into two nations. Judah was on the south and northern Israel, of course, on the north. And they coexisted that way for some two centuries until the 10 tribes of northern Israel were carried away into captivity by the Assyrians, from which they never returned as a nation. Now some who lived in that area fled to Judah when Assyria took the land, and they carried the names of their prophets forward with them. But the two nations, both of which were rebellious against God, northern Israel was the worst. There is not one king of northern Israel that receives good marks of faithfulness to God. But Hosea, he was a prophet whose approach to them was not as harsh and not as stern as some of the others, like Amos and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Some of those prophets were very strong. And he made a stronger appeal, Hosea did, to the emotions of the people. He appealed to, well, we might say, the softer side of man. He pictured the nation of northern Israel as an unfaithful wife to God. But even so, his message was that God was willing to forgive and to take Israel back unto himself if they repented. Hosea's appeal was made for Israel to respond to the love of God rather than appealing to them with emphasis on their punishment if they did not. Now, both of these ways are ways of appealing to man to do what's right. But Hosea was no more successful than the other prophets in bringing the people of Israel to God. It seemed that regardless of the message that the prophets used, Israel rejected the message. They were like those in times of Jesus on earth, who would neither hear John the Baptist nor Christ, either one. Though one was in the wilderness and the other would come into the city, even though they were different in their manner and their approach, the people would not hear. And that same thing is true with many people even living among us today. Now, we're not to think that Hosea was less precise in his condemnation of the sins of Israel. His love and his appeal, that's not to be equated with an attempted compromise with Israel. He didn't do that. But his indictments were God's indictments. Therefore, they were sure. And they were to the point. And inasmuch as the things written aforetime were written for our learning, we can also profit from the message of Hosea in our own time and with our own people and our own nation. You see, there have been people in every age who partake of the same sins of Israel. Sometimes those who claim to be Christians are even guilty of these things. Sin does not change, friend, even though the way of committing the sin may vary from age to age. When violators of God's law become numerous, history shows that not only the personal downfall of the sinner, but the national disgrace and collapse as well. And this should concern us. because we want to be acceptable before God. We're interested in the welfare of our nation. We're interested in the welfare of future generations, as well as our own eternal destiny. And therefore, we need to know, we need to avoid, we need to turn from those things that humiliate a nation and bring destruction upon it. Israel forgot God. That was one source of their problems. Their source of their blessings was God. Hosea had written, "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal." Now this is God speaking to them, reminding them of his blessings. And he says, "Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the times thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand." There were 8 indictments that God gave against northern Israel. And the first one was, they forgot God. Dear listener, how many today realize how abundantly blessed we are in America? How many give the glory and praise to God for such blessings? We are not much different as a nation from the rebellious people of old. Fortunately, there are many who know that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, James 1:17. But does there not seem to be an ever-growing number of people who think our land is great and prosperous and wonderful because of our might and our own power? They've forgotten the source of our blessings. There be some leaders who like to call upon God, but some who like to disdain God. Hosea condemned Israel for their lack of knowledge of God's will. This is the second indictment. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Hosea wrote, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Now the words of Hosea, they were the words of God to the people of Israel. You see, this same tragic ignorance of God's will existed in the day of Jesus. And in answering questions placed before him, Jesus said on one occasion, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures." And how many today know or care what God's will is in our own time? Even among those who profess to care, there sometimes seems to be an indifference toward learning. In spite of the teaching to study the Word of God, and that we can know that we'll be judged by the words of Christ, there are many who content themselves to remain in ignorance and complacency about their ignorance. And while truth frees us, ignorance will enslave us. Truth, according to the way of God, it must be known. We have to wonder how many are so irregular in their Bible study periods, they are guilty of an inconsistent and unfaithful effort to know the will of God. Are we content that no person can be led astray by their ignorance? Oh, the smooth-tongued orators and the egotistical professors and preachers, they know not the word of God, and they're leading people down the path to their destruction. And another indictment to the people of Israel that may well be characteristic of our own time: Israel was indicted because of her pride. In Hosea 5, in verse 5, we read these words, "And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them." Is it not tragic that Judah would not learn from the things that happened to their northern relatives? You see, Judah existed about 130 years after northern Israel fell. They knew the reasons why northern Israel fell, but they would not learn. But will we learn what happened to northern Israel? Will we learn what happened to Judah? Will we forget God? Will we be content in the ignorance of His will? And what of our pride? Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Arrogance, conceit, egotism, self-confidence in our own way, a way that is allowed to degenerate into self-centeredness, those are the companions of ignorance. When one is ignorant, he often smarts and chafes and blisters and pouts when the word of truth is brought to his attention. He gets all puffed up about it. A knowledgeable person realizes the folly of thinking of oneself more highly than he ought to think. A knowledgeable person will realize his dependency on God and is not so easily deceived. But Hosea labored in a time that, in many ways, friend, it's a lot unlike our own, with material prosperity being enjoyed, with little concern for so much of the spiritual matters. But God made his message plain through Hosea. The people were swelled with pride and with plenty and self-sufficiency in their own eyes. We have so many who only look to themselves. They're only after their own gain, and they will profit off of their friends and neighbors to the extent that their friends and neighbors are not only offended, they're sometimes persecuted. We live in a time when people do not seem to care about the will of God. We live in a season where so many do not call upon God for the benefit of our land. We live in a time when even the clergy will turn their back upon thus saith the Lord, and they seek their own ways, and they seek the ways of their own churches. And oh, how unstable so many are. The instability of our land in many quarters. It cannot be denied. Many people do not like to think about it. They rather think everything is simply going to be all right with us. But it's not going to be all right if we turn and follow after those who are intent in bringing degradation upon our land by their rioting and their destruction and their murders and their tearing up the cities and tearing up authority and denouncing God and teaching evolution and trying to bring their own ways to the disregard of the ways of God to be dominant in our land. We need to be careful and listen closely to the teaching of God as was given by the prophets of old, because they are very applicable to our own time, for the welfare not only of ourselves and our neighbors, but for our children, the generations that are yet to come. We need to listen to what the Word of God has to tell us. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.